Wisconsin is in the midst of a battle against heroin addiction and overdoses around the state. It's something we've been following here on Central Time.
Earlier this year, Governor Walker signed into law a set of bills aimed at stemming addiction and making it easier for emergency responders to respond to overdoses.
Today, the State Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse released a set of recommendations focused on treatment and prevention of heroin use. They come following a heroin symposium earlier this week in Milwaukee.
Here with us to talk about these new recommendations from a medical perspective is Dr. Sarah Andrizzi. She works with Advanced Pain Management and practices at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She spoke earlier this week at that heroin summit in Milwaukee. Dr. Andrizzi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, as we mentioned, we've got a parcel of new legislation out there. Still more to do, you think, when it comes to heroin addiction in Wisconsin?
Certainly, yes. And, we in the medical community, these recommendations are brand new. So they just came out earlier today. Mm-hmm. So we're in the midst, we in the medical community are in the midst of kind of going through, sifting through this 80-page document regarding these recommendations. And we're all very interested in seeing how we can all kind of collaboratively work together, state and local government, law enforcement, community workers, education, and medical professionals can work together to reduce heroin and other prescription opioid overdose deaths.
What are a couple of the next steps you'd like to see Wisconsin take and that coalition of different partners you mentioned take when it comes to preventing heroin addiction in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Well, and prevention is one of the key. There were five pillars of the recommendations that were put forth today, and prevention is one of the, and actually the first kind of key pillar. And so in that category, they are looking to promote increased community awareness about substance abuse and also to try and kind of reduce the stigma associated with substance abuse and associated with, obtaining help for substance abuse issues. They're also looking to increase funding for substance abuse coalitions, providing alternative opportunities for at-risk youth to, provide other options for them as far as things to help prevent heroin specifically, but any drug use initially, and then also getting them access to substance abuse treatment if that is an issue down the line. And then the other big point under the prevention category, they are looking to recruit employers, government agencies, nonprofits to really get involved in prevention and intervention activities.
That's the prevention pillar. What are some of the other key points in today's recommendations?
Correct. The other four pillars from the recommendation include harm reduction, and under that category include things like syringe exchange programs, HIV, hepatitis C testing programs for at-risk drug users, increasing funding for naloxone, which is branded under the brand name of Narcan, which is the anti-heroin overdose drug, increasing funding for that and training for that so that we can get that into the hands of other members of the community, whether that be first responders, police officers, EMTs, et cetera. Along with that, they're looking to provide prescriptions for Narcan along with opioid prescriptions. That is one of their recommendations. The third pillar that went along with these recommendations was the law enforcement pillar. Basically, they are recommending that communities develop a system wherein community members can turn over illegal drugs or legal prescription drugs that they maybe have obtained illegally or are no longer using and be able to properly dispose of those medications without significant repercussions, legal repercussions.
So a no questions asked sort of way to get rid of drugs that came into your possession one way or another.
Exactly correct. Mm-hmm.
And then that leaves two more pillars.
Correct. The fourth pillar is the treatment recommendations. The main recommendations in this pillar include increasing access to inpatient detoxification programs in inpatient and then outpatient community support programs. And as a member of the medical community who deals with a lot of opioid abuse in particular, that is an area of interest, I believe, particularly for the medical community. It's an area of difficulty for us in really directing patients towards these resources. And then the fifth pillar is workplace recommendations. So encouraging every workplace to have a clear workplace anti-drug policy, encouraging employers to have in place education and prevention resources for their employees, training for supervisors as to how they can identify drug use amongst their employees, how they can report that, and then consistent drug testing programs for workplace environments.
I want to dig deeper into one theme that came up a couple times there, and a story we've heard again and again where people start on prescription opioids,
yes,
either that were prescribed to them for a valid medical reason or that they've gotten from a relative or bought from someone, and then ultimately turning into a heroin addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to be prescribing these medications less in the first place? How do you balance pain management versus risk of addiction?
It's a good question, and it's a tricky question to adequately address. And we know a couple of things. Number one, we know that since 1999, so for the past 13 years that we have this data, opioid-related, and this is prescription, opioid-related deaths have significantly increased every year. And those parallel the increase in opioid prescriptions that have been given in the U.S. We also know that between 1992 and the mid-2000s, the amount of opioid prescriptions that were given in the United States increased by about 150%. But at that same time, the number of teenagers who are new illicit prescription drug users increased by over 500%. So we know that, going along with this increase in opioid prescription is an increase in illicit or using these medications not as prescribed, especially amongst teenagers. And at that same time, we have seen a significant increase in heroin overdose and heroin use. From 2009 to 2013 in Wisconsin, the number of heroin overdose deaths increased by 170%. So, it's a significant increase in a short period of time. And we know that prescription opioids and illegal drugs such as heroin, they work on the same mechanisms in the brain. Basically, in 1895, Bayer Drug Group introduced a new pain medication which was, they claimed would be a non-addictive replacement for morphine. They called it diacetylmorphine, and they branded it under the name of heroin. So we know that heroin and opioid prescriptions, they're all related. And when we see the risk or the increase in prescription medications and the risk of prescription opioid-related deaths increase, we know that there is a correlation with the increase in heroin deaths also.
Well, as we wrap up now, we've got these recommendations. You've got these recommendations out today. Where do they go? Who picks them up and runs with them?
So, again, it's going to be kind of a collaborative effort between law enforcement, community groups, employers, healthcare, the medical community, and then state and local governments. And so it really is. And they've outlined, ways that all of these groups can kind of work together. And it is going to be, a multi-prong approach to trying to reduce these deaths.
Dr. Andrizzi, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Dr. Sarah Andrizzi. She works in advanced pain management and practices at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She spoke earlier this week at a heroin symposium in Milwaukee, and today the State Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse released a set of recommendations focused on treatment and prevention of heroin use.